It's 5 o'clock in Pirate Country, and it's time to get pumped up with the P-Man. Hit the door and hit the road. 94.3 The Game is going to get you home, and the P-Man's not holding back.
Yes! Yes! Pirates win! Pirates win!
Bring on the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Holy mackerel! Oh, my goodness!
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates.
What a sports weekend in Greenville as we have coming up the Pigout Weekend, Pigskin Pigout Party, as we used to know it, 39th Annual Edition. And Pirate football coming your way at the spring game at 1 o'clock. Here on 94.3 The Game, tomorrow at noon, we'll have a special pregame leading into that with Jim Zocchi and Brian Habo Bailey. It'll also be streamed on WNCT.com. And that'll be for video. We'll have the audio for you here on 94.3 The Game. Tomorrow, as we mentioned, the spring game at 1 from Dowdy Ficklin, Purple Gold Spring Game. 10 o'clock, there'll be a car show, the Touch a Truck event tomorrow outside the stadium. Kids Zone on the turf practice field. Autographs from 10 to 11:30 make that. Spare Change, the musical stylings of Spare Change at noontime. And then Petey's birthday, which is always a hit. Our friends from Team Boneyard will have a table at the event. So a huge, huge weekend. It all kicks off tonight. They'll be cooking pigs all night, and there will be baseball at 6 o'clock, top of the hour. We're taking you to that, a 5:45 airtime between ECU and Charlotte. That'll be the first of an opening game series. So as we jump into things here on this get you to the weekend, get you to the Pigskin weekend edition of the Patrick Johnson Show, we welcome in right now a man who never disappoints, the one and only Mike Mullis, ESPN Plus baseball analyst. Mully, great to see you. How's it going?
Yeah, buddy. Everything's good. Happy Masters weekend. I tell you what, if you can't find something to do in Greenville this weekend, there is something for everybody. You know, you got the Shaq goes tonight, right? That's the doggy jams.
Is right. This Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah. And then we transition right into Pigskin Pigout preparation and cooking and all. I tell you what, it's a good weekend to sell beer in Greenville, North Carolina. There will be there will be a fair amount consumed. But yeah, you got that and baseball, and I mean it's gonna be a big time.
I know you're a big time TV star now. I think you ought to reference that on the telecast today or tomorrow, you know, and I think it's if you're selling beer this weekend, good on you.
Yeah, no, and I mean, it's a fact. It's a well-known anywhere that I happen to go, work, travel, or otherwise, and they find out that I live in Greenville. It's it's an immediate assumption that hey, folks in Greenville know how to have a good time. So
well, they do.
I think it's a. It's a good time to be in the pirate beverage business.
never, nothing wrong with having a good time. That's what we like to say.
Nope.
Mike Mullis will be on the call for all three. Count them, all three games this weekend of the baseball series alongside Evan Budrovich. Lots of excitement there for Mully and Evan as they'll be bringing you the blow-by-blow accounts and analysis of Charlotte and ECU on the ESPN Plus side. So the Pirates with a couple of unique victories this week, Mully. Let's talk about that before we delve into this. The 7-inning mercy ruled shortened combined no-hitter on Tuesday against an Elon team that, maybe is a little better on paper. I don't know if that's some coach speak, but, I think offensively they put up some numbers at times. But the Pirate pitching was really, really good. And the offense came out swinging the bats on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that the Pirate pitching staff stole some innings or got some innings from guys that they wouldn't maybe have expected to pitch quite the way they did against Elon. And, yeah, Elon's a little beat up, a little battered, and down a little bit from what they have been historically. But nonetheless, you take a no-hitter, combined no-hitter, and three home runs in an inning, and it was a and it's kind of interesting. I was not able to watch that game because I was actually coaching the game, but and talking to people, they're like, yeah, man, you didn't miss much. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, there was a combined no-hitter and three home runs at inning. That's a lot to be, but it seems to be, and looking back at it, it was kind of a ho-hum seven-inning affair.
Jaden Winter was the starter in that one. How big does he factor into things down the stretch run?
I think the more innings he could get, and you know, he has an interesting look about how he goes about his business, and kind of big, tall, lanky, but dead over the top with the short stride. And if he can figure it out, I mean, it's a different look than what you normally get. So he can be beneficial, surely. And look, I think that goes to kind of describe everybody in every pitching staff in the country. If they can figure it out, they can help. There's nobody out there saying, man, we just have way too much pitching. So I think, you know, Jaden could figure into things and could be a big part of what they, you know, what's put together down the road. And you're kind of starting to see these innings coming from different places with the emergence of Ethan Norby and the success that he's had. And, you know, if you get Jaden Winters and then if Richie can figure it out, and, you know, that's a lot of ifs, but that's kind of how you put this thing together with, yeah, what, about 20, 23, 25 games left.
There's still some margin for error there, though. I mean, you're saying if, but I mean, if two of the three that you just mentioned start to put it together, I mean, you're in the catbird seat, so to speak. We're talking to Mike Mullis. It is the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game. 94.3thegame.com is where we're streaming. Also, the IBX Media app, free for download anywhere on Google Play and the App Store. Mully, on Wednesday, Ethan Norby comes out and changed, in my opinion, the pace of what was kind of a funky game that was just dragging along. Business picked up when Connor's younger brother took the bump.
Yeah, you know, and we saw Danny Bill, an extended appearance there, and it was kind of an interesting time, and I think it just tells you that Coach Godwin and staff want to get him out there and let him try to work through some issues that he's been having. And we saw him go from really struggling with the breaking ball early in his outing to kind of finding it a little bit later. And then he gives way to Ethan Norby, who was, that dude pitches with great tempo. And you know, it was interesting. We had a kind of a conflicting styles there. Old Dominion took the pitch clock about as far as they could take it multiple times, even getting a violation. Ethan Norby, ironically, got a violation. But, it was good to see Norby pitch like that. You know, the last time we saw him at home, he was part of what looked like it was going to be a combined no-hitter lost in the ninth inning to UAB. So, yeah, he's been good. Even, you know, his outing at FAU, it's kind of a tough luck deal, had some miscues behind him, but that's a true freshman that we're seeing out there that's giving you really quality innings. And yeah, he gets in the game, man, and that thing goes into freaking turbo mode. He's pitching it as soon as he gets it back.
We're seeing Dixon Williams start to see the fruits of his labors pay off a little bit. He's hit the ball pretty well all year. Just seems like that things weren't dropping for him in the beginning of the year. Now we're seeing the flip side of that, and that's just kind of the way baseball goes, isn't it? You as a baseball guy can explain that. You're a baseball guy.
You said that very, very well, PJ. He has not had a bad year. He has not had the numbers do not reflect the quality of the effort. But we're starting to see. Matter of fact, he had a hit. He had a couple knocks against ODU, and I even made mention one of them was kind of a quasi rollover ground ball that earlier in the year is hit right to the second baseman and out. But he hits it firmly enough and hits it, you know, kind of in where they aren't, you know, which famous advice, hit it where they ain't. He did a pretty good job of that in that situation. He gets a hit. So that one, you know, that one goes back and kind of balances out the line drive that he, you know, smoked at the center fielder early in the year that I remember specifically. And so, yeah, but they're starting to fall for him. He's such a good player and, you know, plays so hard. He's, you know, been asked to play some second base, which, you know, hopefully we'll see Jacob Starling this weekend. And, you know, Starling was kind of starting to show you signs of kind of breaking out of his, you know, his offensive lack of production. I don't even want to call it a slump, but just hadn't really been himself this year. So, you know, maybe Starling gets back in there this weekend against Charlotte. And, you know, you've got some valuable playing time for the freshman Colby Wallace over at third, who's still trying to figure things out. But if you can get Dixon back over there, Starling at second, you would think that would be a fairly significant offensive upgrade.
We're talking with Mike Mullis here. We keep seeing the duo of McChrystal and now Wilcoxon start to pick it up. McChrystal's been great now for the last month. Wilcoxon, last couple weeks, seems to really be putting it together. Those are the two guys that, you know, are the battery guys. Wilcoxon's getting the lion's share of the work. But, you know, there's no drop-off if McChrystal's catching. And you can, you know, DH Wilcoxon. I mean, right now, that's the type of thing from a production standpoint that seems to be really kind of putting the Pirate lineup over the edge right now.
Yeah, you know, I think you got a couple factors there, PJ. Those two guys have certainly, I don't know if they've had a game where they both had like explosive games in the same game, but they seem to kind of balance each other out. But I tell you, the turning point, I think, for the Pirate offense is seeing, and this sounds crazy, but to see Carter Cunningham kind of coming back to life. He's had a phenomenal year. He's on a lot of people's All-American list. You know, but we're talking about a guy that was hitting 512 not all that long ago. UTSA weekend, he kind of scuffled a little bit and he kind of, you know, went into a relative slump for what we're used to seeing from him. But in his last few games, he started to come back to life. And, you know, there's been a lot. Probably the number one question I've had asked as it relates to Cunningham and the ODU game is the, you know, the bunt he lays down there in the, was like the sixth inning, seventh inning, one run game.
Uh-huh.
A couple things there that I think are of merit. There's nothing that says that Cliff absolutely called that bunt. Carter Cunningham is a guy that's been around this program that is a very selfless player. That could have been Carter's decision. Now, do I think Cliff called it? Yeah, I do believe he did, but that's, you know, it's not an absolute. Carter could have seen an opportunity. Hey, we're only up, one or two runs. We got the wind blowing out to right. Their best guy could drive a ball out that way. So, I mean, I thought it was good baseball. I know he's hitting 400. And all that's great, but 400 hitters ground into double plays too. And it's a situation where you got an opportunity to advance a guy, you give it off to Jenkins Cowher behind you, and obviously it worked out in this situation. But I can tell you, Pirate Nation wants to see people bop, and you know, they want to see home runs, and they want to see balls driven into gaps, and everybody does. But, you know, there's a reason that a 4-for-4 game is a big deal, because it's very, very difficult to do. So there's times where you better play the odds, take the run. And, you know, you got that late home run. If those runs aren't scored that are kind of set up by Cunningham, that late home run in the ninth could have really made that thing interesting.
Mike Mullis is with us here. We're talking Pirate baseball. ECU and Charlotte coming up. We'll get into that in just a minute, plus some other things going on around college baseball. One of the things I wanted to ask you from a personnel perspective is offensively, JJC continues, I think, to play really great defense in right field. He's made such strides there. And he's not having to bear the burden. I'm not saying he's slumping by any stretch of the imagination, but it seems like he could just kind of go up there, and if he is maybe not 1,000% feeling great, he can kind of work his way through the day and do other things to get on base rather than having to be relied on, I got to hit it out of the park, or I've always got to be the guy driving in runs.
Yeah, you know, and I think any of that was that anybody thought that JJC had to do that, if anybody would have thought that, it would have been him. And that comes with maturity as well, PJ. And he comes off, I mean, you got to think his freshman year was a storybook freshman year. He has kind of a scuffle in his sophomore campaign with the injury and, you know, maybe coming back a little too quickly. But look, there's a lot to be said. A lot of JJC's success is directly attributable to the success of those around him, right? So Cunningham, it's a pretty good spot to be an insulator for a guy like Carter Cunningham, where teams are, you know, they have to make a choice. They got to pitch to somebody, you know, and so, he's made the most of it. Again, critical at bat the other night, hit some ball the other way. man, they played him, they being ODU, played him with a huge shift all night. He was able to – now, that particular bat, they were playing a little more because they were going to try to cut the run down at the plate. It loosened up the infield, and he drives the ball through the left side of the field and, you know, has a big RBI.
Molly, we got you Savage going tonight, tight strike zone, one of his last appearances. He's the pitcher of the week, which was the first for him this year, which seems unfathomable, but is what it is. 11 punch outs, and boy, is there anything right now that this guy can't do when he takes the hill?
You know what? I didn't realize that was his first pitcher of the week. That's crazy. He's as good as they come. You know, he gets that splitty going, and that splitty's a pitch that, as a hitter, you can know what's coming, and you still might not have a fighting chance. But he's good. I mean, he's as billed, and, you know, this Charlotte team's a little light offensively. They've got a couple guys that have some power numbers, but, you know, as a team hitting around 250, so you would like that matchup for your Savage versus their Friday night lineup for sure.
Molly, let's take a time out if we can, and we'll come back and preview the series. I have a couple other questions to ask you about with college baseball. So the great Mike Mullis with us here on the Patrick Johnson Show today. Stay tuned. More with Molly when we come back.
You ready for this?
Oh, I'm very ready.
Okay, ready?
You ready?
Streaming to the world at 943thegame.com. This is the Patrick Johnson Show. Now in all his glory, here's the P-Man.
All right, it's to get you to the Pigskin Weekend edition of the Patrick Johnson Show. Nice to have you along. Great P-Man here with you. ECU and Charlotte this weekend in baseball. Pirates are right now in second, tied with South Florida, a game behind UTSA. Charlotte comes in 4-5 in the American, and they are 15-18 overall. Have been struggling here on the road lately for the course of the season. So the 49ers are a program that has been in the NCAA's regionals, played in Greenville, in fact, a few years ago. They're coming for the first time ever as a conference foe. Molly, what's the scout on Charlotte as they roll into town this weekend, as Mike Mullis joins us here?
You know what, PJ, it's interesting when you look at their total team statistics. They're averaging almost 12 strikeouts as a pitching staff, 12 strikeouts per nine innings. That's a big number. That's ranks way up there in college baseball. They've got a guy that's got 10 home runs offensively. So you kind of look at the two different ends of like the big match. Like when you think about pitching stats, you know, strikeouts are big and home run. But then when you look at the totality, again, a team that's hitting like 255 with a team ERA at about 6-ish. So they've given up some extra base hits, fielding the ball at about 960. So it's kind of weird. I think those stats all are indicative of the kind of team that Charlotte has been throughout the year, where they have had games where they have absolutely dominated teams. And I'm talking about same team in the three-game series, dominate them one game and be dominated the next game. So it's kind of an interesting deal. Now, I think a lot of that comes with the fact of their roster construction and turning over. They brought in nearly 30 new guys. So that's going to obviously be a dynamic that they're still kind of trying to work through, and it does take time for people to settle into roles. And, you know, you look at that as compared to an East Carolina team that largely returned, you know, their starting lineup, you know, save, you know, third base was a change. But for the most part, everybody else was as they were the year before. So with the addition of Bristol Carter, and you see Nowak in and out of the lineup, but it's an interesting UNC Charlotte team, man. I don't know quite what to expect. I do think that we should have some really, really good games, and I think they're going to be interesting games. I do think that the Pirate fans have to be a little patient and expect that we're as a team, the Pirate offense is going to strike out some. I mean, you know, again, this team averages almost 12 per nine innings, so obviously more than one an inning. So expect some strikeouts, but also expect to see some extra base hits, based on what I'm, you know, seeing on their stat lines.
Pirates, you know, have won. This will be the 40th meeting tonight. They've won 34 of the meetings, 13 straight. six in a row in Greenville last year, beat them 6-2 in Charlotte in the Uptown Park. Truist, beautiful stadium. Can this program in Charlotte, I mean, now that they're in the American, they've had some success in baseball fairly recently. I mean, I don't think we're breaking any new ground here by saying, you know, from a baseball perspective, a lot of these teams need to kind of step it up a little bit so the RPI in the league's a little better when you get into these league games. Because that's really, let me just face it, that's why these midweeks are so important for East Carolina, because the conference RPI right now is not where it needs to be, quite frankly.
Yeah, you know what? I think Charlotte has largely done their part. They, you know, they opened up with Virginia Tech, which obviously anytime you face that Virginia Tech program, that's a good RPI series. Yes, West Virginia they've played. I mean, you know, so I think that they've done their part, PJ. I think this program, you know, they had a lot of success in last year's draft. I think four or five guys drafted, and in a 20 round draft, that's pretty impressive. So, I mean, you know, Coach Woodard and staff there, they've got a great area to recruit to, great facilities, a lot of positives there. I think this program is one that could be one of the more interesting and more one of the more consistent programs in the conference kind of as we go forward. So, yeah, they're definitely one that you think along the lines of, you know, kind of where we need to be as a conference for postseason opportunity. And to your point, that where the RPI is the difference in getting two teams into the postseason and four teams into postseason. So, I think Charlotte has an opportunity and has all the things in place to be that kind of a program going forward.
Let me ask you a little bit about Wake Forest. You got some key guys healthy. Are the Demon Deacons, I don't know, sleeper, probably not. I don't know. It's two different teams. I mean, when they're not healthy, they're a totally different team. They just don't have that kind of depth up and down the program. But when healthy, dangerous.
Yeah, we can stop this conversation right here. When they put those guys back in the lineup, it's a different club, and they're not going to – look, Wake Forest is – they're not sneaking up on anybody. Those days are behind us. So yeah, that's that. I mean, I still expect them to be there in the end. Are they as good as they were last year? No. Are they really good? Yes. And again, now that they're healthy, you can kind of stand by. But look, you look around all of college baseball. You look at what Florida State's doing, and Clemson, and I mean, Carolina's had great success. It's going to be a fun season to watch in totality, and then kind of seeing how this thing shakes out down the line. And obviously, I think East Carolina and Coach Godwin have done everything they can do to position this program to be in a position to potentially host a regional at the minimum. But you got to take care of business on the field. And obviously, that starts tonight with UNC Charlotte and all weekend dealing with the 49ers.
Cliff Godwin loves the time when the regional projection starts rolling out. Loves it. And I say that tongue firmly in cheek. But right now the projections have ECU as an 8 national seed, which would mean an opportunity to host the super regional should they get there. Duke is right there at 9. Talking about baseball in North Carolina, how great it is. And in the region for that matter. But do you see that if that stand? I mean, we're right now, you know, that's obviously if things were starting today, a lot's going to change with all of that. But it's interesting that it's Duke and ECU because they got a matchup still to come in a few weeks. So if you look at that, that game could be really pivotal. They're all pivotal, but that game could be extremely pivotal. Is that about right, though, ECU at that 8-9 line? Is there an opportunity to kind of move up? Is you know, how far could they move back? I mean, a lot of it obviously depends on what you do, but also what the opponents you have beaten do.
I don't know that there's a tremendous opportunity to move up from that number. If you go in as a number 8 number, I mean, maybe you get to 7. You got to look at the strength of the SEC, the ACC, all that's going on. The Sun Belt is really freaking good. So you start looking around and you're like, hey, if East Carolina can hold serve and finish the season as an 8, that's been a heck of a campaign. And as to how far they could fall, I mean, I don't think there's a parachute that could stop the plummet if things really went south. Now, do I anticipate that? No, have no reason to. And I think everything's going to be just fine. But in answer to your question, it's a whole lot easier to drop than it is to rise when you're in a conference, kind of back to your point, that doesn't really offer you an opportunity to create the most incredible resume that's ever been seen. So, yeah, this isn't just Coach Speak. This is fact. Every game is very, very important to the point of being critical when you're at this point in the season and when you're at East Carolina team that, quite frankly, even if you look in the conference, PJ, a lot of people don't see this yet. We're one game behind UTSA, but to overtake you at UTSA, we need to have more wins than them because they hold the head-to-head. Right, so in reality, to win the conference, even though the leaderboard shows that we're one behind, we're theoretically two behind as we sit here today. So we can't afford to drop a game and then win a game. We can't afford to lose a series and then win a series to continue to stay in the race to have a chance to be the outright conference champion. And I think that's going to be critical. I think that, and again, even if East Carolina was not to win the conference and not to win the conference tournament, I still think based off of RPI, strength of schedule, and if they continue to hold serve for the most part, they would find their way into the postseason. But to guarantee your path and to have a chance to host, I think winning the conference is critical.
You got to go. I know. I appreciate the time. And Mully will be on ESPN Plus all weekend starting at 6 o'clock on the telecast of the 6:05 First Pitch Radio with Scooter and Coach O. Hey, Mully, thanks. We'll catch up with you soon.
Talk to you soon, buddy.
There he goes, the great Mike Mullis with us here. All right, let's go now to Philip the Ref Pilkington. Double duty for him today as he was on Talk of the Town earlier doing the Pirate Report and Sports Update. And he's got what's going on in Pirate Nation and beyond for you right now.
Thank you, P-Man. It is a very busy weekend in the Pirate Nation. The conference home series against Charlotte in baseball will get started here just at the top of the hour. You can hear network coverage of that right here on 94.3 The Game, starting at 5:45 with Scooter and Coach O. The Pirates are already 2-0 on the week, including a nail-biting victory over ODU. And Coach Godwin talked about how Ethan Norby, the freshman, pulled through at the end of that one.
Got a little hairy there at the end. You know, of course, you don't ever want to put the tying run on base. But we had to play, a little Russian roulette there, Coach O, and it worked out. Norby's just hard on left-handers, and so we thought it was a good matchup, and it worked out well for us.
On Saturday, also as well as the baseball game, there will be the 39th annual Pigskin Pig Out as well. Excuse me, as the spring game, and Coach Houston talked about what he is most excited about when it comes to the spring football game.
Very, very good spring. I told the kids out there, I said, the thing I'm most excited about for Saturday is I want our fan base to be able to see what I'm so excited about. We are going to divide up the team, which I hope that doesn't, water us down too much. But I don't think it will. But just really excited about, having an opportunity just to showcase just a little bit of what we've been working on. And, the improvement from day one until today has just truly been drastic.
There will be a pregame show for that spring game from 12 until 1 right here on 94.3 The Game with Jim Zocchi and Brian Bailey. The conference introduced their new commissioner yesterday, and Commissioner Pernetti talked about what he thinks his duties most importantly are as the new commissioner.
It's important that the foundation is one thing, which is trying to get creative to generate and create new resources for the institutions. The investment and the challenges and the changes continue to accelerate, and I think we need to do some things differently in order to keep up with it.
Also this weekend, the softball team will be on the road at Tulsa as they are coming off their first conference sweep since 2021 as they took 3 out of 3 against the Roadrunners of UTSA last weekend. Coach Winkler's team has really turned it around. All three of those games will be on ESPN+. In college basketball, the Kentucky Wildcats have found a replacement for Coach John Calipari, who left earlier this week for Arkansas. They have hired BYU's Mark Pope to be the new coach. Pope played the last 2 years of his collegiate career at UK before going to the NBA. He started to coach at Utah Valley in 2015 before heading to Provo in 2019, where he posted a record of 110-52. That'll do it for your 94.3 The Game Sports Flash Update and Pirate Report. We're going to take the final timeout of the show, and on the other side, we will be back to wrap up the Friday edition of The Patrick Johnson Show.
And now, the stunning conclusion of the show. It's the P-Man here on 94.3 The Game.
All right, if you miss an episode, you can check us out. Obviously, we got the video form, and it is archived there, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Pilk, our podcasts, where can people find those? Because I know we get podcasts emails from 2021, but where do people find the podcast? I don't know where we download them. We put the podcast. So,
well, the best place to get it, the best place to get it is on the IBX Media app. Of course, that's the easiest way, easiest thing to download. No pre-roll ads or anything like that. We didn't outsource this and pay some other company. Our own Dylan McKay made it, but also, as far as I know, they still post it on all the podcast forms on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all that. But I always go to the IBX Media app, so I'm not really
IBX
sure.
Media app. That's a good call. That's a good call. Look at me. Too many hours. I've been up since 3, so what do I know? Philip the Ref Pilkington, Patrick Johnson here. Monday, Cliff Godwin will be with us. Let's get Joey Football for a little post spring game. Can we work? Can you work on that over the weekend, Pilk?
Yeah, we'll work on Joey Football. Yeah.
Okay. I think we have a lot of audio, but I mean, I really like having Joe on. So, Joey Football, Cliff Godwin. Bethany Bratcher will be with us Tuesday before the game against William and Mary. She's got a new book out, Never Take This for Granted, which is about ECU baseball and Pirate baseball fans. So we'll talk to Bethany on Tuesday and have more fun and frivolity next week as we are apt to do. We've got the Pigskin Weekend pregame tomorrow at noon with Zoki and Bailey leading you into the game. We will not air the game, but we'll have that hour pregame for you tomorrow, which will be a lot of fun. I think Igo is going to be on it as well. Baseball coming up in a few minutes. Scooter and Coach O, they'll have all three games of the series this weekend as the Pirates at 25-7, 6-3, second place in the league, a game out behind UTSA, host Charlotte with a 15-18 mark. And 4-5 in the American. It is you Savage at 6-1 going tonight against the lefty Cole Reynolds. All right. So on a thing called, speaking of podcasts, called the Deep Cut Podcast, Tom Terrific, Tom Brady, told the host, Vic Blends, that he would pick up the phone if a team called him in the event of an injury next year. In other words, a late season comeback, Pilk. Now, this is a guy that said in February of 23, he's retired for football for good. He says he still stays in shape. He still throws the ball. Not opposed to maybe joining a team late season, especially if they could win the whole thing and there's an injury to a quarterback. What do you think?
Hey, I mean, part of the reason I think these guys retire, it's that crazy off season and everything they've got to do with camp.
Oh, it's the grind.
The preseason, it's the grind. It's the grind. And, you know, it's... quarterback's never done it, but you think of a guy like Eric Weddle, who came out of retirement to join the Los Angeles Rams with their most recent preseason run. Obviously had a phenomenal career with the Chargers and the Ravens, but had never won a ring. And then he got his opportunity and
got a ring.
Hung out with Aaron Donald and Matthew Stafford for about 2 months and won a ring. So, I mean, look, if most quarterbacks in the league are worse than Tom Brady having not thrown a football to it in a live game for the last year and a half. So could you blame a team for going with it? No, but hey, you know, your backup knows your system. We saw what happened with the Eagles and Nick Foles. So, you know, I can't blame them, but I don't know if anybody will call them. Hopefully nobody gets hurt. That's what we hope. All 32 quarterbacks.
Well, yeah, but that's the caveat here. If somebody got injured, but I still think it, I mean, he still was putting up great numbers in what was many considered not such a great year and a limited, year in his abilities. He still put up pretty good numbers his final year. I don't know if he's a system guy yet, but he's not the guy he once was. So I think if there were an injury, it does depend on the scenario and what kind of system he would go into and how late it would be in the season. Can you revamp what you're doing to fit his strengths? But, I mean, there are some places that you could see him going. And I think this opens the door for somebody to call him now, don't you?
I think
somebody's going to call him now and say, hey, we want you. Why don't you we've got a guy in place. We can get through things.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
Somebody's going to call him now, but he's going to, like you said, that grind. He doesn't want to do that all summer. He wants to lay on a beach and drink beer with a girl. Actually, he probably doesn't drink beer, but, you know.
Drink beer.
He drinks water so he doesn't get sunburnt while he's laying on the beach. You know, you drink enough water, ladies and gentlemen, you will not get sunburnt. That is the words of Tom Brady, not Philip Pilkington.
Okay. Pilk, great job today. Thanks to Mike Mullis for being with us. Pirate baseball coming up. Have a great and safe weekend, everybody. Back Monday morning hosting Talk of the Town. And Cliff Godwin at 10 on our video platforms for Inside the Pirate Clubhouse. I'll be here for the PJ Show. Pilk will have part of it for you as well. And we'll also have the final edition of Inside Pirate Athletics on Monday. So busy day Monday. Looking forward to it. Have a great and safe pigskin weekend, everybody.